Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you, Sky, and gentlemen of the band. I always want to acknowledge the moment that is created by our music and us listening to it together. It brings us together. And we can feel our connection. We share one mind quite clearly as we listen. So I want to thank the musicians for all the preparation they've done for this service and in their lives to bring us this kind of music. And in the same way that they prepared, I'd like to prepare us together to listen to this talk. In the Gnostic texts, which is an ancient mystical tradition, these texts were found in Nag Hammadi, and there's a description of a teacher talking to a student. My child, it's your business to understand. It's my job to be successful at speaking the words that spring from the source which flows inside me. My child, one who listens must perceive the same as the one who speaks, share the same awareness, share the same spirit. The one who is hearing must hear more than just the voice of the one who speaks. Now, be completely present. Give me your whole attention with all the understanding that you are capable of, with all the subtlety you can muster. For the teaching about divinity requires a divine concentration of consciousness if it's to be understood. It's just like a torrential river plunging headlong down from the heights so rapidly that its speed outstrips your attention, not only of whoever is listening, but also of whoever is speaking. In any spiritual conversation, there's more going on than you can consciously pay attention to. Just acknowledge that and let yourself be shown what else is being said to you beyond the words spoken. As dean of the School of Spiritual Leadership, here in Santa Rosa, I asked the ministerial students in our local campus to consider this question. So what is the difference between spiritual leadership and any other kind of leadership? One of the points that I'm sure to make is that a spiritual leader sees God in everyone and everything. While other forms of leadership might do this, it is, for me, the essence of spiritual leadership. A wonderful description of this is in a book called Change We Must, written by a Hawaiian woman, Nana Viri, who left Hawaii to come to the mainland to study with Ernest Holmes. And she wrote about her experience with Ernest. During one of our final classes, he, Ernest Holmes, walked over to the window and said, "Come here, look out the window and tell me what you see." We all went and looked out. We saw people walking up and down the sidewalks and traffic going by. After a while, he said, "What have you seen?" We answered, "Just people walking up and down, cars and buses passing by." I told him, "I don't see anything unusual." And he said, "How long have you studied with me?" We said 2 years. He said, you haven't learned anything, have you? Come back to the window again. We went back to the window, and just then a group of people passed by on the sidewalk. Dr. Holmes looked out and said, see, God in so many faces passing by. And then I remembered my grandmother, a Hawaiian healer, telling me that she was not feeding the stranger, but entertaining the gods. I thought to myself, oh my God, metaphysics was right before my nose, and I didn't see it. A spiritual teacher like Ernest Holmes shows you the divinity in you and in everyone, something that's already active in you, that is right before your nose and don't see until you look for it. So, with this awareness and this preparation, I'd like to, if you're comfortable, have you repeat after me as you look around at the others in the room. Say after me, we recognize you. We know who you really are. You are the spiritual image and likeness of God. You are a holy face of divinity. You are a unique way that love, beauty, and intelligence are happening on this planet. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Peace and blessings. That is the opening greeting done at the Agape Center down in L.A. And it's done, written by Michael Beckwith, a powerful teacher within our tradition. The topic of this talk is leadership from the heart. And in it, I'll be drawing from the teachings of the mystical branch of Islam called Sufism. And it's found specifically in the poetry of Rumi, Hafiz, and Daniel Ladinsky. Rumi was a 13th century Islamic mystic and poet. His poetry remains among the best-selling and was for a long time the number one best-selling poetry in the United States for the last decade or so. And I'll be teaching a class on him and those, Hafez and others, beginning this Tuesday. You can find information about it in your bulletin. Rumi said the same thing as the greeting we just did, but in his own distinctive way. He said, you are the truth from head to toe. Now, what else do you want to know? The heart in Islam means something different than our Western understanding of the heart as the center of feeling and emotion. In this tradition, the heart means heart and mind, feeling and thought. And Sufism describes it this way. The heart is the ultimate center of human consciousness, the inmost reality. As for the lump of flesh within the breast, that is the shadow or outermost skin of that heart. Between this heart and that heart are infinite levels of consciousness and self-realization. As one's inmost reality, the heart is always with God. Thus, when Sufis talk about their spiritual practice, they say that we are opening the heart, and they call the path in doing that the path of love. The opening of the heart to reveal the love that's already within. In the Quran, the Islamic scripture, Allah, which is the Islamic name for God, says, my earth and my heaven do not encompass me, but the heart of my servant who has faith does encompass me. All of God is encompassed in that heart within. Rumi again points to this truth in his succinct and down-to-earth way. He says, every object, every being is a jar full of delight. Be a connoisseur. So how do we open the heart through the path of love? I don't pretend to be a Sufi teacher, and they have their own practices, but we are on that path in this tradition. The Course in Miracles, a modern text speaking in the language of metaphysics, which we teach, states that we can't be taught how to love. It's already active in us. All we can do is teach you how to remove the blocks to the awareness of this love. Love, in fact, is an activity of God, the One, and is beyond any individual doing. It's a universal energy that lives at the center of every being. Ernest Holmes had a great sense of love and its immediate presence and its power and possibility. And he described it this way. You and I would not know of the limitless possibility of the meaning of love if we only loved two or three people. But I can imagine what a terrific thing it will be when I love a great many people, when I love all people as well as those I love the most, without loving them less. That's too big for me now, because I'm a little lover, so to speak. But I'm telling you of a dynamic truth, and I know it to be true. The kick you get out of those you love, the feeling you have toward them, someday you may expect to have toward everyone you see. Isn't that love? Removing the blocks to becoming aware of this love can be done in many ways, but here are a few suggestions. Open your heart. Don't harden it. When you see someone that you don't feel love for, don't shut down your heart. Don't shut them out. Don't harden it towards them. Just choose not to pursue your unloving feelings and remain silent within about your negative feelings towards them. Don't elaborate on them. Just let them be. If you can, let yourself feel your connection to them. And if you're able to appreciate anything about them in any way, then this is seeing God in them. Suzuki Roshi, my Zen teacher, said that Zen Buddhist masters have a grandmotherly mind. They see all beings with the delight and love of a grandparent. We often feel this natural appreciation when we see babies, watching them move and play. Appreciation is to allow yourself to feel the energy of the other as good, as beneficial. You recognize your own energy in others. Each person is a dimension of your life. You are a dimension of the life of God. Letting in others' energy through feeling the common life energy you share, you benefit from them and their good. You wish them well because their good is your good. Ecology points to this truth and scientifically proves it. That all things on this planet are connected, that what is done to one affects all. Remember that each person is a part of the same whole that we are part of. We can recognize this even if we can't feel it. Rumi points to this connection in this poem. Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. That poem has a wonderful feeling to it because it releases you from the world of right doing and wrongdoing to the world of actual experience of each other. In Zen Buddhism, before every meal, there's a prayer that is said that says, 10,000 laborers brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. 10,000 means countless, can't count it. We should know the efforts of countless beings that support us. This is a prayer of gratitude and helps us remember how we're helped by others in so many ways. We can feel gratitude for that, even though we may never see that support coming. Rumi speaks of gratitude in this way. Giving thanks for abundance is sweeter than the abundance itself. Know that your presence is radiating love. Again, whether you're aware of it or not, God's love is moving through you. Ernest Holmes described it this way: back of us, the infinite searches finding manifestation through us, as us, and all that we are. It is what we are, and we should never deny it. When we surrender to it, we are not surrendering to a foreign agent, but are acquiescing consciously to the divine host, a celestial visitor, a universal individualization. Know, like the Gnostic teacher taught us, that the divine torrent is flowing through you and me, always, all the time. Another way of saying this is the way the Christian Bible does. It says that, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless you recognize that the Divine One is pouring its energy through you, and its energy is love, it is activity, it is everything that you do, then whatever you attempt to create, whatever you attempt to build, will never stand. Becoming aware of this changes our experience of our lives. Reverend Edward used to tell a story of the building of a cathedral in medieval times. And a person was walking toward the cathedral and stopped to talk to a worker and asked, "What are you doing?" And the first worker that he met said, "I'm here to earn a paycheck. I'm here so I can survive. I'm here so that I can make my life work at a very survival level." And he thanked the man and walked on. And he said to the next worker, "What are you doing?" And the person said, "I am," and he said it enthusiastically, "I am creating something beautiful. I am creating something with my own artistic ability. I'm bringing to life something which is amazing to see and look at." And so the man thanked him and went on and talked to the third worker and said, "What are you doing?" And with ecstasy in his eyes, he said, "I am building the temple of God. I'm bringing God into manifestation here on earth. And I am in bliss about it." Do you know that your life and your work benefit the world? Even if you haven't seen that truth, are you aware of the beneficial impact your work and life does for the world? Of the good that the divine is bringing forth through you? This is not about doing any particular job or role or accomplishment, but about the benefit that results from your simply being and your activity. Bringing love forth in a child's life, caring for each other, simply being kind to those who need kindness. These are all God acting through you This is why you exist. And as the book of our sense of the month says, start with why. How great leaders inspire everyone to take action. Very few people, the book says, very few people or companies can articulate why they do what they do. When I say why, I don't mean to make money. That's a result. By why, I mean, what is your purpose, cause, or belief? Why does your company exist? Why do you get out of bed every morning? And why should anyone care? We say what we do. We sometimes say how we do it, but we rarely say why we do what we do. It all starts from the inside out. It all starts with why. When you see the benefit that you are bringing to all being, you begin to see the why in everything you do. You can bring this awareness, you can enact it by being present, by beginning to see what's always already around you. One of my favorite teachers is a man named William James, lived in the 19th century. And he was a professor at Harvard. And one day he was standing with a group of students in Harvard Square, and a professor walked by without acknowledging any of them. And they all begin to laugh among themselves and say, "That person is an absent-minded professor." You've heard that phrase. And William James said, No, he's not absent-minded. He's just present-minded somewhere else. He's not ignoring you, but his attention is trapped in some other world. The world traps our attention and feeds us what we pay attention to, just like a YouTube algorithm that tracks whatever you click on and gives you more of it. Now, that is a great analogy for our understanding of how the mind works until you introduce spirituality into what you do and say and think. And you don't notice what you're missing because you're in that world. You're constantly being given more and more of it. So teachings like Sufism, like this one, teach us how to free ourselves from the collected and endlessly repeated opinions of others and the endlessly looping thoughts that capture your mind and attention. You're told who to like and who to dislike, what to fear and what to worry about. Rumi says, "Be empty of worrying. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear thinking." One way to begin to be present to someone around you, to the world around you, is instead begin to see how you're all on the same team and consciously join the team. You can do this by seeing that, as the Course in Miracles teaches, everything anyone ever does is either an act of love or a call for love. This understanding of love in every action is found everywhere in the poetry of Hafez, another Islamic poet. His powerful love poems to God are right now used daily by people throughout the Mideast. And they're used as a consultation, as a guide. People open a book and read whatever poem there is for them there. And he inspired the writing of this poem by a modern poet named Daniel Ladinsky. It's called "That Moon Language." Admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, "Love me." Of course, you don't do this out loud. Otherwise, someone would call the cops. Still, though, think about this great pull in us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with a full moon in each eye that is always saying with that sweet moon language what every other eye in this world is dying to hear? find a goal you can agree on together. I can agree with you and with everyone that you and everyone needs to love and to be loved. We have now that everyone needs safety. Everyone needs freedom. Join that team. Be allied about this goal, even though you may have radically different ideas of how to achieve it. You can agree on that goal. Ram Dass, who's been a teacher of many of us over the years, said this to a group of parents who said, "How can we help our children not make the same mistakes we did and suffer the consequences?" And he chuckled and said, "You'll never stop that. But what you can do is not nail them to their mistakes. Do not identify them with them. Do not teach them that that is what they are and that's all they can do. Return again and again to looking for the love within your heart. Teach everyone, including you, to accept the invitation that's inscribed on Rumi's shrine. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, it doesn't matter. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, even if you have broken your vows perhaps 10,000 times. Come, come again, come. Returning again and again, not hardening your heart, feeling your connection to all of life, and joining with the heart in everyone that seeks love. In this way, you are freed to find God's love moving in you, through you, as you. And you follow Rumi's advice. Let yourself be silently drawn by the stronger pull of what you really love. Please join me in prayer. I know that the speaking and the listening, the activity of giving and receiving is happening always, and it's happening here and now. And I accept that everyone here is listening with that heart that lives at the center of everyone's being. That heart that responds to the divine, that opens to the divine, that reveals the divine. And I accept that it is active right now. It is the stronger love. And it is always pulling us into deeper and deeper realization of its presence in us, as us, through us. So I accept that each person here has known and felt something that is drawing them deeper into the awareness of who and what lives its life as them. For it is the Divine One living through and as us that moves us, that calls us, and we respond freely and naturally to this. So I accept that we allow that we are already successfully engaged in this path, and we discover more and more of it appearing as we step forward on it in every moment. And I accept that each one here knows more and more deeply the truth that they are love, surrounded by love, and knowing and feeling the divine energy that creates all things. I'm grateful for this awareness. I'm grateful to feel grateful. And I simply release this word, knowing it is being done as it is spoken, and so it is.
Oh, Dr. Kim Kaiser blesses us, does he not? Yeah. It is time in our service for conscious giving, which is a lovely spiritual practice, and we provide a space for you to do it. So I'm thinking today, as you prepare your offering, to maybe think of a why are you giving an offering. Perhaps it's because we all like to facilitate more spiritual living. So this offering is your ambassador that goes where you can't go and facilitates spiritual living toward a world that works for everyone. So with that in mind, would our beautiful ushers please stand and receive the gift. Thank you.